Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we are, Overnight America. Hour number two, 11:06 in St. Louis. We're getting closer to the weekend. But as we get closer, the temperatures continue to fall. Let me check the KMOX thermometer. Let's see. It's currently at... Wow. So we do things a little different on Friday. If there's something you'd like to bring up, 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line or 800-925-1120. That 800 number is toll-free, so you can call from anywhere. We're a little more flexible because over the course of the week, we cover a lot of different topics. So if there's something that you missed or maybe didn't get a chance to call in on or something you're thinking about, that's why we try to gather it all in the last day. It's one of those everything bagels. JD calling in all the way from Michigan. What's going on, JD?
How you doing? Yeah, I get a kick out of you guys and your weather and things like that.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Michigan.
Where at?
Outside of Detroit.
Okay.
Where's
Douglas
at?
I'm on the lake shore. I'm on the other side. I'm on the Lake Michigan shore.
Okay.
So I do get a kick out of the winter wardrobes, flip-flops, hat, parka, and gloves.
Oh, it's like that everywhere. I went to school Central Michigan, and you'd see the college kids out there. There'd be snow on the ground. They would wear flip-flops and get the little salt pellets in their feet, and then they would have shorts on. Like, what are you doing?
Indeed, and then wonder why they have pneumonia.
I know, showing up, they're sick all the time. What do you mean you don't know why you're sick? It's a mystery, huh?
indeed. I called because I got a kick out of your previous guest. I've spanned, let me put it to you this way. I was 4 days old when Kennedy beat Nixon.
Hmm.
So I have seen the gamut of presidents, elections, and this and that and the other. What I have learned and what we've come to is that I really am sorry to break it to your guests, but journalism really no longer exists.
Hmm.
When you look at the media outlets, every single one of them has a slant in one direction or another. There's no objectivity anymore. When you look at the CNNs and the MSNBCs, they never have a single positive thing to say about the Trump administration.
You know, can I play a clip for you?
Sure.
Yeah, did you hear, I don't know if you heard the show last night, but there was a clip from Larry King who was doing an interview for RT America. Let me play this for you. Take a listen.
There is something, maybe it's an undercurrent, that is different now. Can you put your finger on it? What is
things.
It? Yeah.
Two things, Rick, the internet and cable news. Could you imagine cable news in Watergate? and they don't do news anymore. In fact, RT is one of the few channels doing news. RT does news. CNN stopped doing news a long time ago. They do Trump. Fox is Trump TV, and MSNBC is anti-Trump all the time. You don't see story. There was vicious winds and storms in the Northeast the other day.
Yeah.
Not covered on any of the three cable networks.
And he went on a little bit longer, Larry King. I think that goes with what you're saying.
Well, the delight I have is to know that Larry King is still alive.
He's going out there and paying attention.
I lost touch with him after a while. But yeah, that's exactly what it is. This is just simply, it's like sports. It's just entertainment now is all it is. And there's no real bastion of right down the middle. Now, I saw this. I knew it was out there, but it became abundantly clear to me on election night of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
When the results were coming in, this boulder was coming down the mountain, and you saw, I mean, please, you saw anchor people weeping. Mm-hmm. You saw them you saw them hold off the Florida results until the polls in California closed.
Uh-huh.
And then Mr. Blitzer awarded California to Hillary Clinton without a single ballot being counted.
Yeah.
So to say, hey, journalism this and journalism that, it's not there. And people with any modicum of common sense realize that, and you filter for what it is.
Yeah.
The one thing that I and just in closing, want to say, I just thought it was really peculiar that Mr. Acosta, who did insert himself as the boy, didn't you find it really interesting that he was sat in the front row center, literally 12 feet from the president?
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know where they get their a seating assignment. I don't know what that means. You would think first come, first serve, but he shows up late to these things.
But then you would think, well, wait a minute, you know, if the White House is going to position people in a favorable stance, they wouldn't put Acosta there. He'd be in the fourth row, way to the left, yeah. Right near the exit.
Maybe the seats are reserved for the organization. CNN just happened to get that seat. Yeah, and you know it's not him showing up early. Remember how the story about him losing his press credential to the Secret Service? He showed up like 15 minutes before his TV hit. So we know he's not showing up early.
Right, right. And well, and now he's not going to be showing up at all.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Thanks, JD.
But listen, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Larry King alive and well. I'm really starting to appreciate Larry King and his old age. You want to guess how old Larry King is? 84. 84 years young. He's at the point where he's getting this thing with his mouth. Now, of course, he couldn't host a show on CNN or a radio program for as long as he did if that's what he was doing all the time. But now he's at that age where you can't help it, I guess. Now I can't stop doing it. 314-436-7900. That's the phone number if you want to call or text. Or if you want us to pay for it, 800-925-1120. We'll take a couple more of your calls coming up. I see Mike's holding on. And I will this hour get to Hampton Sides. If you don't know what the Frozen Chosen is, this is a story you need to hear about. He has a book out about it this weekend, Veterans Day, on Sunday. The Frozen Chosen, that story this hour too. On Overnight America, KMOX.
News at the top of every hour. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Here we are. Welcome back to Overnight America. Last show of the week, meaning we keep things a little more flexible. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me get to Mike, who's calling in. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
How you doing? Good. Anyway, I got two questions to ask you, and I thought they were pretty good. My friend thought it was pretty good, and Mike Anderson gave one answer, what he thought. Now, here's the first question. Since Thanksgiving and Christmas is getting close, mm-hmm. They got this video game. It costs $300. And I wonder how many people would buy the video game or be too tight. My wife would say she would buy it and just give it to one family, okay? Now, the second question, since Thanksgiving's coming and our blood pressure is going to increase, and the question my friend said is a good question. He's like a health nut. Which do you think your blood pressure will increase the most on Thanksgiving or Christmas? I'd say Thanksgiving. Because you eat more, and my friend said at Christmas, maybe a little less because they shop less. What do you think?
I'd
like to hear people's honest opinion.
Yeah, this is quite the random thought moment. The $300 video game, what video game costs $300 that you're buying?
It's at Walmart. It's like Pac-Man or
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, you know, the joystick, whatever you call it. And the other ones, like you see with the little rockets, like Galaxy, they're pretty neat looking, and they're $300. And my wife has said she couldn't afford $600 for two of them, but she would if she buy two. But what her suggestion was, if she brought one, she'd give it to the family and say that for everybody to use to save from wrapping packaging. But the people said they'd be fighting
for it. How? The Nintendo, the little mini Nintendos are about $100. How can a Pac-Man machine cost $300? Is it like a
it's video, like it looks like a big like video pinball machine or something like that, but it's big.
Oh, there's a big cabinet with it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking, but it's $300 and Walmart.
Man, you're a high spender. You're gonna go to Walmart and buy a $300 item. This is a big spender.
Would you buy it or are you too tight? Man, I know you're cheap.
I'm real cheap, Mike. You know that already. I'm a tightwad.
Would you buy that for your 2-year-old kid? I know you love 3-year-old kid. I mean, how old he is? I know you love your kid. You could play it at all times, spend family time with your kid.
Yeah, probably. I could play it a lot with him, but I don't think we'd get enough out of it. We buy him a lot of stuff. Like when we go Goodwill, we buy toys from Goodwill. A $3 game will last them as much as a $300 one at Walmart. So, all right, okay, Mike.
Hey, before you go, what's your answer about your blood pressure? Do you think it's better on Thanksgiving, worse for Christmas?
I think
bad food, right?
Yeah, does gravy raise your blood pressure? Because depending on that, it'll determine which answer. I think probably Thanksgiving. I eat more.
Yeah, I think you're right because I know you're going to want pies and all that sweet and stuff.
Oh, you know it. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You're a tightwad.
Oh, of course. Get that in there. Rodney calling in. Hey, Rodney, what's going on?
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good.
Yeah. Hey, I listen to your show all the time, and I make a lot of comments at the radio. But I wanted to make a comment about Mr. Shelley's interview.
Right.
One, a couple things that he had mentioned. He said that the pass that the journalists have is a courtesy that's extended to them to make life easier on them, basically.
You mean the permanent pass, as opposed to the temporary ones that you can gain?
Right. Right. Yeah. And like anything that is a courtesy. Not treated as right, you have to protect it, and it's based on respect and playing by the rules, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I was thinking about this. If there was any professional sports organization, like let's say the head coach is there and he's answering questions with the media afterwards, after the game, if there was a reporter that stood up and refused to hand the microphone over, you better believe they'd lose their credential to that team immediately. The next day, they'd pull that credential, that reporter.
Oh, yeah. You have to, if you don't police it some way, it'll just keep snowballing until there'll be no order.
Yep.
And you know, I know as you mentioned Sam Donaldson, and I've heard several people compare this guy. I've never seen Mr. Acosta on a news report. I saw him that day asking the question. I've heard him compared to Sam Donaldson. I remember Sam Donaldson.
Yeah.
Just a minute, Mr. President. But the same time, he didn't have a network that was running 24/7.
Yeah, that's true.
Trying to destroy.
Sam Donaldson, to me, kind of looked like a Muppet. He always had that look on his face, that scowl on his face, and the exaggerated eyebrows. I never really heard that much before. I don't know if they're just using that because over time people like Sam Donaldson just because, you know, he's one of the old timers. I don't know if they're just using that as a comparison to try to bolster their argument for Jim Acosta or if they actually believe it. I don't know. All right, Rodney. Well, thanks for yelling at the radio when you listen. Call in any time, okay? Oh, thanks, Rodney. Oh, okay. He dropped the line. His phone was going a little wishy-washy there for a minute. I didn't know if it would be having some issues. Greg calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Greg.
Good evening, Mr. Wrecker.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Ooh.
Actually, two things real quick, okay?
Uh-huh.
With my 5-word definition of journalism, me with a Make America Great Again hat, protesting in front of CNN with this billboard of my 5-word definition, do you think I would get out of that area alive?
Yeah, I think you'd be okay. You might get some hipsters or whatever coming by and, you know, they're not going to tip their fedora to you, I'll tell you that. But you would get some attention, I think.
Yeah, well, we may do that, but I'm going to visit the White House first.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say hello. We shall see how that goes in the next few months. But I didn't clear this with Mike, but I do have, since it's Friday night, I do have a way how you can close out the show. It's really good. I've been working at this. It's very balanced.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now, you got to understand, I'm trying to balance it out because it's Overnight America, using your voice. using that, at the beginning of your show.
So you want me to do the sound effect myself?
I'm going to do everything, but just think of yourself, think of yourself saying this instead of me, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's very balanced. I think it'll work. All right? So you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. It comes on. You're about ready to close up the show. And then you put this on. It's Overnight America's Ryan Recker wrap-up. Well, America.
Okay, hold on. We got the music here. I want you to try that again with the music. Can you? All right,
yes.
Hold on. Take a listen. And then just hop right in when it's the right cue.
It's Overnight America's Ryan Recker's wrap-up. Be well, America.
Just like that. All right, Greg, I like it. You like the sound effects. You were doing the toilet flushing a couple weeks ago. You're really into the theatrics of it all.
Well, do you know, you did get that crinkling noise?
Yeah,
you
I heard that.
Was?
Yeah, what was that?
I just ruined a good bag of barbecue potato chips.
Oh, you just crumpled them up like...
Well, you're worth it. You're worth a bag of potato chips, aren't you?
Yeah, thanks.
Yes.
Thank you, Greg. All right, have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, how about that? I like that. Oh, man. Why would you want to ruin a bag of potato chips? They're so expensive.
You're a tightwad.
Jeff calling in. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. The previous caller was talking about some sort of $300 video game.
Oh, yeah. The Pac-Man video games, $300.
What it is Walmart's, I don't know if it's just Walmart, but they're releasing some of the arcade-style video games like you would play them in. And the cabinets are framed like they were in the arcade.
Yeah.
But they're like a third of the scale.
I'm trying to find an example of it. Can you tweet me a link?
I'll find something. But it's like how you go into the arcade and you play all those old arcade games.
Yeah, the stand-up cabinets.
Yeah, it's like the third of the size. Probably about a third of the size of the original.
Did you have one of those mini Pac-Man games growing up? It was like a mini. It looked like a mini cabinet.
I think so. I remember that. Yeah,
I remember it too. It had a little joystick on it, and you'd turn it on. You'd go and you just start playing. There was no rhyme or reason to it. You just played it. I would play that until my fingers bled.
Yeah, but people like us would probably have to kneel down to play this version.
This isn't a tabletop. You have to.
No, it's like a third of the scale of the original games that you played in the arcade.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Is it worth $300?
I don't know. I'll try to find a link tomorrow.
Like, would you pay $300 for it?
No, because you can buy. You could probably You could probably make a cabinet cheaper like that.
Yeah,
have all those arcade games on it.
Are you handy? Could you make a cabinet if you had to?
No.
Nah.
Not from scratch. I could probably put one together, but not from scratch.
Yeah, my wife's always getting on to me. She says, you have to learn a hobby. Why don't you take up woodworking? She watches all these HGTV shows where the guys are like, oh, I'll just make something for the house, and they zip it up. And she thinks, oh, why can't you be like that? All honesty, if I learned woodworking, I'd be making things like video game cabinets. I wouldn't be making art for the wall and junk. So maybe it'll backfire her demand of me learning something.
Yeah, or you can do like this one guy I know made a TARDIS replica.
A what replica?
TARDIS from Doctor Who, that big blue police box. People make those.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've never seen Doctor Who.
Did you get that link I sent you the other night when you were doing the disco stuff?
Yeah, I did. I forgot what it was. I know it was disco related.
One of those CW shows
where
the superheroes go back in time and stuff like that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, staying alive. All right. Hey, thanks, Jeff. Good to hear from you. Have a great weekend.
All right. Good night.
Well, that's funny. I'm sure it's in my parents' basement, that old Pac-Man game. I would play that all the time. Remember those old Tiger games you could buy, too, in the 90s? It's the, you don't want to buy a Game Boy, so you can get a cheap $15 knockoff of one game that has a very limited amount of things you can do. Basically, the screen already had all of the movements mapped out, and it would just kind of like shift. You remember the old Tiger games? Oh, they were fun. Maybe it's before your time, Producer Mike. So coming up, I wanted to play this interview I have with Hampton Sides. He has a book called On Desperate Ground. Since Veterans Day is this Sunday, he wanted to tell the story of the Frozen Chosen. If you don't know that story, you got to hear it. It's a really remarkable, remarkable story. That's coming up next on Overnight America, KMOX.
Now, more of Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Joining us now, the best-selling author of On Desperate Ground, and telling the story of, well, really, since we're getting close to Veterans Day, a truly remarkable veteran story, Hampton Sides. Thanks for coming on to KMOX.
Thanks for having me, man.
This Sunday, November 11th, is Veterans Day, and you tell the story on Desperate Grounds of something that happened during the Korean War and the Forgotten War. People normally gloss over that. We have the fascination with the world wars, but for whatever reason, we don't have that same fascination, at least in the mass appeal, as World War II, which is really a shame because there's so many things that happened during that war that people, they just don't teach anymore. So this is why books like this are very important, and you tell a couple of different stories of what happened on Desperate Ground.
Well, yes, it is. It is our forgotten war. Apart from endless reruns of MASH, you know, it seems like what happened there is has been minimized. Sometimes it's called a police action or a conflict. But believe me, it was a war. It was like a world war that was all kind of crammed down into this one peninsula, and it was terrifying and produced these harrowing and dramatic battles.
Yeah,
Especially this one, the Battle of Chosen Reservoir, which I think really is the pivotal and the most interesting of all the battles in the Korean War, and it's the moment when the Chinese first entered the war in huge numbers, over 120,000 Chinese soldiers, Mao's soldiers, surrounded. A group of the 1st Marine Division, who had marched up into these mountains of North Korea, came upon the frozen shores of this lake, and it was a perfect ambush kind of scenario. The Marines knew the Chinese were around, but they didn't realize the numbers, and they didn't realize this trap that had been set for them.
Yeah,
and you know, the other factor that makes it such a dramatic battle is the conditions under which it was fought.
Oh, yeah. You're just saying here it's just unbelievably freezing temperatures, and they were out there for weeks in that.
Yeah. And it's 35, it got down to 35 below zero, so cold that, you know, weapons wouldn't fire and, you know, vehicles wouldn't start back up.
Wow.
And, you know, the medics had to carry the morphine in their mouths to keep it from freezing.
Wow.
And, you know, just took your breath away. It was so cold. And, you know, the men now who survived all these years later still talk about that cold, like, you know, just it's just presence in their life that they never fully got rid of. They, you know, many of them, about 85% of them, have suffered from frostbite issues, neuropathy in their feet, and you know, tingling, and some of them lost fingers and toes and hands and feet, and you know, it just was a huge factor in this battle for both the Americans and the Chinese, of course, and they, you know, they kind of think of it as the third combatant, which is one of the things that drew me to this. I've always written about survival stories and men in extreme circumstances, and this was like a, you know, just the ultimate military survival story, because these guys were fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
You know, fighting against the cold, fighting against the terrain, and fighting against overwhelming numbers of the enemy.
On Desperate Ground is the name of the book, and author Hampton Sides joining us here looking at the Battle of Chosen Reservoir. And that's a fascinating aspect to it, the 30 below zero. I had no idea it even gets that cold in that area, let alone how anyone could survive that, being out for weeks on end. How long did this last? And you were also talking about the casualty rate. It's pretty remarkable the amount of lives lost there.
The battle lasted for about 17 days, And, you know, they marched up into those mountains. They were attacked on the night of November 27th, 1950, by overwhelming numbers of Chinese. They were attacked only at night, by the way. This battle took place during the evening hours because the Chinese were rightly fearful of the American air superiority. So, you know, that gives another haunting quality to this battle, is that it was fought in these garish light of the flares and, you know, phosphorus shells. And you know, it's the Chinese were pounding on drums, and, you know, they had cymbals and bugles and shepherd's horns, and it just this cacophony of sound in those mountain wilds. Mm-hmm. So for 17 days, the battle goes on for really the first 3 or 4 days. It's basically just the Marines holding on for dear life, trying to withstand and absorb this onslaught. But then the Marines begin to regroup, come up with a plan, figure out how to sort of unite all their regiments who have been spread out over this long road, get them all in one place and form this stronghold. They build an airfield in the middle of nowhere, and they get all their casualties out. Because, you know, the Marines have a big thing about that, leave no one behind.
Right.
And they then begin this plan of bashing their way out of this trap and marching while fighting 70 miles to the sea, where an enormous evacuation is being planned on the level of Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm.
Get these guys out of there so they can fight another day, and, you know, in with later on in the Korean War. And that's what they do. And that's why the Marines really celebrate this battle as one of their great ones. If you go to the National Marine Museum in Quantico, mm-hmm. they have big exhibits on Belleau Wood and World War One, and Iwo Jima, World War Two, and this one, Battle of Chosin Reservoir. Because a fighting withdrawal, no one likes to call it a retreat, is one of the most difficult, technically complicated maneuvers in warfare.
Yeah,
and they pulled it off.
You know, you were in St. Louis just a few weeks ago. We might have missed you, but you had the library tour. You came through and gave your speech. You were able to meet some local veterans in the area, I understand.
Yeah, they came out. Guys from the actual battle came and stood up. I had them take a bow, and, you know, just wonderful guys. These guys are, you know, these are the guys that we're slowly but surely having to say goodbye to. And, you know, my stepfather died this summer, was a Korean War veteran. This is my parents' generation. So, I don't know, it's doubly emotional for us, I think, to have to say goodbye to these guys, because they're also, understandably, a bit resentful that their accomplishments are so widely overlooked.
Yeah.
You know, and their big brothers and older cousins who fought in World War II got all the credit. These guys maybe got a little bit short shrift.
You know, anyone that may be listening that knows a veteran that served in the Korean War and hasn't applied to get them onto an honor flight, they have to do it as soon as they can, because that is one of those really awesome things. Have you ever been on one?
I haven't been on an honor flight. I know the program, and I know, you know, a lot about it, but I did recently go on a different program that was equally emotional and maybe even more so. It's a program that the South Korean government runs, where they invite veterans back.
Mm-hmm.
They pay their airfare. They put them up in five-star hotels. They treat them like kings. They roll out the red carpet. And it's all just simply to thank them for saving their country and, you know, preventing it from becoming North Korea.
Yeah.
You know, you only have to look across the DMZ to imagine what they could have become. And these veterans, man, it's so moving for them to realize firsthand how grateful, you know, this country is. This is the 12th largest economy in the world now. It's this modern, technologically advanced democracy, one of our most staunch allies.
Mm-hmm.
And these men all had a very, very important role to play in making that happen. And it's really moving for them to go back and realize, you know, they aren't forgotten after all. This is certainly not a forgotten war over there. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hampton Sides, author of On Desperate Ground, Chosin Reservoir, the story You can read about it in the book. And one other question for you regarding the relations between the United States, North Korea, South Korea, and you get Japan and China, really that whole region. And some, there has been some movement there, even though it may be a little bit slow. At least it's in the positive direction at this point. It looks like North Korea may be having a change of heart, or maybe it's just the long road to having a change of heart. And you start to see some remains returning from that area. Have you talked to veterans and what that means for them to start seeing the release of some of those remains?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a really important thing for these families to get these remains back. It closes a chapter on this. Some of these folks were missing in action, and, you know, they've just been kind of assuming the worst all these decades.
Yeah.
But, there's no substitute for absolutely knowing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's also really moving to these families, I think, to know that their government has been working so tirelessly for so long against all these political obstacles to get these remains. You know, like, they aren't forgotten, certainly not by these graves repatriation guys who go over there and negotiate constantly and apply all the modern technology, the best DNA research and so forth, to identifying these remains and getting them to the right people. So it's a huge program. It's really fascinating. I've met some of the guys who spearhead this program in Hawaii. Fascinating, actually.
You know, if someone wants to check out your book on Desperate Ground and read about the stories in there, where can they find it?
Anywhere where books are sold. And, I always encourage people to go to their local independent bookstores wherever possible. It's available in, Audible, Kindle version, every kind of version there is. So check it out. It's just come out just a few weeks ago.
Oh, Audible, too. So you have an audio book of this?
Yes.
Ah, who reads it? Do you know who the voice actor was?
Well, he's some Broadway guy. They always get somebody from, who's got an impeccable voice to read those. I've heard it's really great. I haven't actually listened to it.
Oh, man. It brings it to life when you hear it that way. But, of course, being able to read it and go through it, learn about some of this period in time in history is really important, too. Hampton Sides on Desperate Ground. That's the name of the book. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
He joins us on the Quiver River Electric Guest Line on Overnight America, KMOX.
News at the top and bottom of the hour. Mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
Taking a look at this Pac-Man style cabinet. Did you see that thing Jeff tweeted in? I don't know if you saw that, producer Mike. This thing's almost 4 feet tall, about 60 pounds. It looks like a miniature arcade game. But what do you get? A 4 foot tall thing? What do? Do you put it on like a table or coffee table? End table? You go to IKEA, get one of those cheap $5 end tables, you put it on top of that. What do? That's kind of cool. That looks cool. $300 cool. I don't know. I think that is the good breaking point. If you wanted to go actually buy an arcade game, you're looking at, what, $2,000, $3,000, something like that, if you want a cool one. Yeah, at least $1,500 if you're buying a full-size one. So if you can say, oh, I can get it out of my system, spend $300 and be done with it, I guess that's not bad. But what a tragedy in California where they were at that Borderline Bar Grill in Thousand Oaks. And last night, apparently police got there really quick, and you've heard of the result. They believe the gunman who believed to have killed himself before taking 12 lives himself, among the dead, sheriff sergeant. It's just, you read and you hear about these things, and it's just absolutely terrible and heartbreaking, and you wonder what in the world would be going through a person's mind that they'd want to do this.
Police arrived within 3 minutes, and 29-year veteran Sheriff Sergeant Ron Helis immediately confronted the gunman inside.
At the Borderline, officer down.
I watched an officer get shot in front of me, and I had to help drag him to and throw him into the back of the cop car. He was unresponsive.
Sergeant Helis became the 12th victim. Tim Dominguez was at the bar with his son.
He was a brave man to come into those shots because it was a scary situation for everyone. It really was.
Investigators identified the gunman as 28-year-old Ian David Long, a former Marine who had served in Afghanistan.
It just doesn't make sense. And if you're an NHL fan, the Los Angeles Kings had a moment tonight.
Our local community and our nation as a whole was again shaken with the reality of another ugly and random act of violence in which 12 victims had their lives taken away in Thousand Oaks.
That's part of the public announcer's address, courtesy of Fox Sports, who was broadcasting that L.A. Kings game. It doesn't make sense. Like, and I read this one, too, here in St. Louis from KMOV. A St. Louis man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison in the shooting death of a cab driver. 10 years. That is absurd. You played a part, and you killed a person. 10 years is all you get. I do not get it. Post-Dispatch reports, and I'm getting this right up from KMOV, 20-year-old Shakur Ellis was sentenced Thursday for second-degree murder in the 2016 killing of 38-year-old Timothy Grice. Court records say Ellis was at least two other men were trying to rob Grice when one of them shot him in the neck. Ellis received a plea deal with prosecutors and agreed to testify against a co-defendant, the 21-year-old Jerry Reese, received 25 years in prison for five felonies, including second-degree murder. How, if you are a family member of this cab driver that was shot and killed in this stick-up, do you feel like there's closure on this when you know one of the people involved in killing someone you love is only going to jail for 10 years, and then who knows, maybe they get out early? That can't make you, that cannot give you rest, that cannot make it feel like there's been justice here. A third man was sentenced in May to 15 years in prison after a jury found him guilty of receiving stolen property and a related crime. I don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, and same thing with down with the duck boat. Charges now filed against the captain of a Missouri tourist boat that sank and killed 17 people. 51-year-old Kenneth Scott McKee, indicted on 17 counts of misconduct, negligence, and inattention to duty by a ship's officer resulting in death. It happened July 19th. Duck boat sank on Table Rock near Branson, hit a storm. There's indications of storm. It's just not good altogether. Even people on the boat, you remember hearing just heart-wrenching things. They go on this duck boat. Oh, you don't need a life preserver. The dead included a lot from one family from Indiana. Also, members from Missouri, Arkansas, and Illinois. Five of them were children. They've suspended the operation after the accident. It's just sad. It's sad all the way around. It's terrible. You want there to be justice for the victims, and I don't know what you can do to make it better when they lose five children. There's nothing that can be done. Way to bum everyone out. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have ended the hour that way. Coming up, I wanted to get to a few other things. There's a story on Fox 2. I didn't get a chance to do it this hour. An elementary school student wore a shirt to school, and they said, you can't wear this shirt anymore. And I'm kind of leaning with the school on this one. But we're going to take your calls coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.